Morning. Father, we need you and we thank you so much. Thank you for our class. Lord, you bless us with good food. You bless us with smiles and the fellowship. Lord, thank you now for your word. And I pray that please you'd help me as I teach this morning. So much to cover and yet so little time. I pray that please you would teach on the inside while I teach on the outside. And use this little lesson to make us stronger for you. Knowing what we believe and why we believe, in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse number 17. Ready? For Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, wait a second. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, God did not send him to baptize. If you would like a good verse on how do you know baptism doesn't save you from sin, there's one. The greatest missionary that the world has ever known plainly said, God did not send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. The gospel is what gets people saved. Baptism does not. Jesus himself did not baptize people. All right? So how do you know baptism doesn't save? The Bible teaches so. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The word preaching means the proclaiming of a topic with reasoning and motivation. The word preaching itself, if you want a one-word definition, it means to proclaim. It means to herald. Now, this morning's lesson is we've been looking at old past preachers, and the first lesson was on the church. Last week's lesson was we tried to make it on the King James Bible. And this week, the old past preachers, old past people, old past Christians, people who stand for the old paths, like preaching. God has a lot to say about preaching in the Bible. But in our day and age, when you deal with, there's nothing wrong with media, but media can have a tendency, for instance, I don't know of really anybody on the TV that's worth watching. And I think I can make this strong statement here. I haven't heard a Christian radio station around here that's worth anything either. Now, if you listen to the Christian radio, that's fine. I'm not bashing that right now. I'm just saying I try to listen to it, and I've tried to do some search. I like Christian radio if I can listen to it, but a lot of it's rock music, and a lot of it's where it's so whangy, you know, it's so country, you can't, you know, you feel like, what's the difference between that and WW Boots, you know, or something like that. I don't know, the Western or whatever. So I haven't found a Christian radio station. That's why I try to supply you with good music. Really? That's what part somebody helped me with that, and so I try to make it available to you all because you're in my Sunday school class. The word preaching here, it means to proclaim with the proclamation of a topic with reasoning and motivation. Now, preaching is very important to a Christian because God says here, to those that perish, it's foolishness. To those that are on their way to hell, preaching makes no sense. Do you know why? If you're in 1 Corinthians 1, look over at chapter 2, look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Wow. If you're lost, spiritual things mean nothing. Church means nothing. The Bible means nothing. It's just another book. Black Beauty, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, My Horse Flicka. I mean, it's all in the same league. It's just a book. But if you're saved, eternal things, soul winning means something. Church is important to a saved person. To someone that's lost and doesn't have the Holy Ghost of God on the inside of them, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. And they can't, all right. Look at the next verse here, verse 19. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, wait a second. God does use the preaching of the gospel, preaching to save people. All right? You'll see people this morning. There'll be people that are here. Some people got saved last week, and they'll come and make their salvation public. There'll be lost people in the service this morning. Some will get saved under the preaching. But that's not what this verse is talking about. It says God uses preaching to save them that believe. Those that are already saved need preaching, because when you look up that word save, it means salvage. God changes your life through preaching. That's why every Christian, you say, how does preaching do that? You know, the rock groups in the 1950s said they got their style on the stage from? It was Baptist preachers. What makes a Baptist preacher a Baptist preacher? His ability to get consumed with one thought. How come preacher, did y'all watch him preach last week? He was down on his knees. He was throwing himself around. He had one truth in mind, and he was consumed with it. And it's delivery and you getting it. Well, the rock singers said, when I was into rock music before I got saved, I saw the rock musicians raising their hands at the end of the concert. You know, the lights are on them and they're dripping with sweat. I know those lights are hot, but there is more than that. They put everything they got into it. They said in the 1950s they got their style on the stage from Baptist preachers. They said if that draws a crowd, which it does, they said then we'll emulate that. What John Wesley used to say, he started the Methodist Church in the late 1700s, but he said, I set myself on fire, and then men come and watch me burn. That's probably a good description of preaching. He said, Abraham Lincoln said, I like to watch a man preach as if he's fighting bees. I like that statement. You ever been in a bee nest? As far as that, now, he said, that's preaching. Preaching, all right, and what I try to do here is, and what preacher wants all of us to do, because I believe I'm teaching some Sunday school teachers this morning, is Sunday school is for teaching, really. Preaching is more authoritative. Like if you take your Bible real quick and if you go to Matthew chapter 7, look at the last verse. Keep your finger, we're coming right back here. But look at Matthew chapter 7, and let me show you something. Matthew chapter 7. And look at the last verse. Well, look at the last two verses in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Teaching does this. Teaching informs you. Teaching gives you information. Teaching is an art, I think. It is the art of transfer of information from one person to another. That's teaching. Preaching is teaching plus a conclusion. Now, here, listen to me closely. The altar at the end of a church service is very important to a Baptist church. I believe a Bible church. Anybody's doing any type of preaching, the altar is very important. Do you know why? Because the preacher gets up and he'll say, thus saith the Lord. Now do something about it. Then the music starts playing, and we use the altar to do what? Respond to what was preached. There are churches nowadays, literally, that believe the altar call is too old-fashioned, and they don't have it because it's embarrassing. That's not an old-time church. That's not an old pet. Watch this. That's not a Bible church. That is a new age, that is a newfangled, modernistic, liberal church that says we don't provide people an altar call because it embarrasses them. Wait a second. If I go into you with a philosophy on why we use the altar, it is embarrassing. That's the whole purpose. Because my God says he gives grace to those that humble themselves. What's grace? The desire to do right. Without humility, watch this. Everybody that uses the altar isn't giving up prostitution and alcoholism. Some that are using the altar this morning when it's time to pray are just praying for their marriage. They're just their home. God, please help us. Some are praying for a family member that's lost. But for every, including myself, I use the altar every service. I'm leading the choir, but before I do that, if you ever peek, I get on my knees every service. Do you know why? Because I need the altar like everybody here does. I don't know what he's preaching this morning. I don't know what the truth is. He doesn't clarify, Brother Nash, what do you think about what I'm preaching this morning? I'm not the pastor. But whatever he preaches this morning, He has walked with God and prayed and planned, and God gave him what we need as a church. So there's something in that message for this boy right here. So at the end of the message, when he says, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, I turn around in my chair and I hit my knees. Do you know why? Because there, I know you can pray in any position you want. You can pray laying down, you can pray standing up, you can pray walking, and I do. But there is something about this position right here. There's just something about it. It's humbling. And for you to do that, and then you say, God, this is how you've touched my heart. And God, please help me in this area. Or Lord, help me to do more of this. Or God, help me to do whatever it is. That's between you and God. But there are churches that don't like that. We are an old paths, old time, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Why? Because when he preaches, it's with authority. He still loves you if you disobey. Praise God. Have you heard him say, nobody can live all he preaches? You're not on trial, but he is there. He even says sometimes this message, sometimes he said, is more for me than it is for anybody else. He always taught us in Bible college, a wise preacher preaches to himself as well as to the people. Somebody says, oh, I can't believe he's saying that. Well, he said he's made several statements. I was so convicted while preparing this message, but I know this is what I'm supposed to preach. A preaching church is very important. Now, the reason you say, why would you teach on this? Because in the day and age we live in, there's nothing wrong with teaching. But have you noticed how seminary crazy people are? I mean, where's the next one? You know, they'll do all of this, all of this learning, and then they don't do anything with it. There's nothing wrong with learning about Bible prophecy. But when that's all you study, you become a fruit loop. It will whack you out. And I love Bible prophecy, but I might touch on it once, twice a year. That's it. Because there's a lot more to live in the Christian life than knowing Bible prophecy. But there are Christians that get whacked out with that teaching. And if you go to the radio, David Jeremiah, he's a prominent teacher. Who is the Grace to You Bible broadcast is the leading. John MacArthur, he's the leading Bible teacher in America. And you know, when I first got saved, I listened to him till I heard him start correcting the Bible so much. And when he actually starts saying on the radio, that word shouldn't be there. See that word right there? And I remember I was in Colossians. Here I am, I've been saved about 4 months. And I had $300 worth of his tapes. Okay? He's sitting there, I'm reading Colossians. He said, see that word not, N-O-T? That's a tragic translation. Please, cross that out of your Bible. And I went, not. Okay, I can understand if you change the word a to the, you know what I mean? But even as a young Christian, I said, wait a second. When mom said, you must take out the garbage, or you must not take out the garbage. That totally changed the whole sentence. You know what I mean? Even as a young Christian, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that in that day. I was smitten. I personally loved his Bible teaching, but when he corrected the Bible, I remember going, I didn't have to take it to my pastor. I just remember I cried. I thought, how can they do this? I took all $300 worth of audio tapes, and I remember pitching them in the trash. And I haven't listened to John MacArthur since. He's a heretic in more ways than one. But here we go. In the day and age we live in, they have the proper inflection of the voice. It's good to be here today. Take your Bibles. And, you know, yeah, Steve said that as if he has it. But we're living in a day and age where people like to be taught, but they don't like preaching. But my Bible says God uses preaching to save them that believe. Take your Bibles now and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Go over a couple of books. You'll pass 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The reason I think this is important is because I believe as the future of our church, I'm sitting in front of future Sunday school teachers of our church. I stand today before future deacons of our church. I stand today before future leadership of our church. And I believe it's coming partly from our class. And if you don't understand the difference between our church and the living room down here that had Super Chick last week, you know what I mean, in concert? If you don't understand, if they are all the same to you, if all the churches are the same so long as we worship God, then you're not getting what this place is, okay? And I love you, and I'm not upset with you. I'm just saying there's a difference. That's why the sign says down here, preaching service on the sign. It does not say, notice what it does not say. It does not say worship service. The word worship means to kiss, be intimate with. That's where we get the word worship. Like when a dog licks the back of the master's hand in obedience, that's worship. God expects us to worship, but watch this. If you go to the, I know I'm picking on this morning, don't tell them I said anything about it. But if you go, I don't care if it's Covenant in Shepherdstown, I don't care if it's IBC right down here. Normally I get this pretty frank in my Baptist Church History class. I'm getting pretty open right now, so if I upset you, come see me. I might apologize, but I will still love you, all right? These churches that have emphasized the worship when you walk in, and the emphasis is on music, to do what? Create a mood. So that what? In about an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half, after you leave there, you feel like you've had an emotional experience. We've worshiped the Lord. Their emphasis is on worship. Ours is on preaching. That's why our music is not, you know, it's not that slow. When you go into church this morning, what's the pianist going to be doing? Dun, 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 dun. Something's getting ready to happen. We're getting ready to have preaching. It's not, we're not going in there for a dinner service, you know. Thank you, may I take your order, please? You know, it's we're getting ready for church. There's a difference. Notice everything about your church and what's getting ready to happen. The music is setting the pace, but it's not spooky, ethereal, floaty fog, you know. Now, oh, let's all have a group hug this morning and feel the love. You know what I mean? You know, we just need to hug everybody. No, we don't either. I like that. So I said, we need to just sprinkle everybody with love. Everybody, let's do the sprinkler. Okay, let's just do this. You know? That's that type of stuff. Look at me. That's entertainment. Okay, I got a little graphic with that. But that's entertainment. That is not... Did I embarrass you, honey? Okay. Yeah, too much sugar. There is a difference in our church and those type churches. They teach. They don't have altar calls. We do. We draw to a conclusion. When we preach, we are not against teaching. I think that's part of what Sunday school is for. It's to inform you. I think I can cover things in here, like I'm going to try to in just a second, that I don't think preacher can cover in the auditorium. That's one of the purposes of Sunday school. I can take time with a small crowd that he could never take with a big crowd. Okay? That's one of the purposes of this class. But we are a preaching church, and I believe that is the type of church in the Bible. In the Old Testament, they preached. In the New Testament, Jesus preached. John the Baptist preached. Paul preached. They all preached. They weren't, it wasn't a, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Ready? 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, that's when they like it, and out of season, that's when they don't like it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. We say, what do you get from that passage? People who don't like preaching do not like authority. You may teach me something, but when you start preaching to me and telling me what God said, you have drawn a line, and I'm not coming back to this church again. And you know what the attitude is here? Nobody tells me what to do, not even God. I am my own God. I run the show. You may teach me, but you may not preach to me. And God says as we get closer to Jesus coming, there will be people who don't like preaching. Now, I don't like all types of preaching. All right? I like preaching that makes sense. I'm not for just hollering because you can holler, you know. You know, I like what Adam said. Normally when a preacher starts hacking, he quits preaching. You know what hacking is? If you can hack and make sense, did that scare you? That didn't scare you, did it? That's hacking. That's hacking preaching. And that's a style of preaching. And somebody says, well, that's a black style of preaching. That's not a black style of preaching. I've seen white preachers do it too. And I'm not against it, but I am used to a style of preaching that I believe is topical and biblical, like what we're going to hear this morning. It's going to take you down a path. And in about 5 or 6 or 7 points, preacher's going to reach a conclusion. And then at the end of the sermon, you won't have wondered what he was saying. I'm not for the, you know, Jesus is coming again, one on the land, one on the sea. Don't know when he's coming, but he's coming after me. You know, I mean, I'm not. Yeah. Even if it rhymes. Now, I really. Yeah. Yeah, get everybody back with me there. When you look at the Bible, and I hope the little things I do help you not to forget the Sunday school lessons. Don't worry, we won't forget that one. But you're in a church that stresses preaching. And that's not even entertainment. All he's trying to do, if you watch preacher tell jokes like I watch him tell jokes, he'll be preaching his jokes. Every joke that he tells is planned. He folds it out. He'll be preaching. It'll be about a 5-page outline this morning. It's what he'll have in his Bible. And as he comes to one page, I can always tell when he gets ready to tell a joke because he has it taped in there to where it folds out. He'll read it. And do you know why? Notice it's normally after a hard point. He uses humor as a strategy to keep you with him. Because if he goes, bam, God said, bam, God said, bam, God said, bam, God said, after a while, people start going, oh my. And sometimes the mind can shut it off. See what he does? He'll go, bam, God said, and then he'll pull out a joke, and that gets you back with him. It's a technique. I believe it's using humor the way God intended to use humor. To get what? The message of God across. We are a Bible preaching church. We are not a teachy church. We are not a worship church. I believe you are supposed to worship God at home. And I would no more worship God in a crowd of people than I would make out with my wife in a crowd of people. In front of a crowd of people. That is for private, individual use. In the Old Testament, they worshiped in the temple. In the New Testament, they preached and served. Went soul winning. Now, that is the difference. We are a preaching church. Old path Christians hold to Bible preaching. I wish I had time, and can I just tell you real quick, and then we'll close her down. Just listen to me real closely. God tells in Deuteronomy 27:14 to preach with a loud voice. God says in Jeremiah 50:15, shout when you preach. God says in Lamentations 2:19, cry out and pour out your heart when you preach. God says in Ezekiel 21:12, cry and howl and smite upon the thigh when you preach. God says in Ezekiel 21:14, smite your hands together when you preach. God gives a style of preaching in the Bible to get the Word of God across. That's why preaching is important. Our church, I love the choir special this morning. I cry about every time I hear it. Here is love. And if you're in the choir and we practiced it last night, I think you're going to enjoy the choir special this morning. And I'm looking forward to it. But you know what I'm really looking forward to this morning? In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to hear the man of God open the Word of God and give the message of God to the people of God. And it's the highest point in the service. And I don't know what God's going to do in my heart this morning, but I'm looking forward to it. Because I want to change. I want God to tell me what's right. Anytime your heart ever gets hard towards preaching, it's always a red flag that says something's wrong. Because saved people that want to grow and do what God wants, they don't just want to be taught what's right. And I believe everybody wants to be taught right, but they want that preaching. Come on, man. Preach it hot. Turn it up. Come on. He's going to do it. He's going to grab the mic. He's doing it. He's reaching for it. Come on, preacher. Let her rip. We like that. But if the day ever comes where you don't like it, God says as we get closer to Jesus coming, the time's going to come where people start playing their own God. I run the show. God's not going to tell me what to do. I hope this lesson's been a help to you, and I hope it's helped us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. And Lord, I don't want to confuse, and there's not one person in here that I wish to hurt. I really wish growth would happen. I wish an understanding would happen, and I wish a light could go on that allows them to perceive what is spiritual and what is entertainment. Thank you for our church. Thank you that you've led me here and my family. Thank you for these sweet people. Now bless our preacher this morning, please. Father, as you have in the past, bless him as he preaches to us. Touch our hearts and help us to never tell you no. Please, we need you this morning. We want your help.